Good morning.
Morning.
The June 22nd, 2022 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding a hybrid virtual meeting in an effort to be in compliance with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, this agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, actions items to be presented by the staff, other businesses, status reports on current projects, activity, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and the staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. First order of business will be the acceptance or the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve.
Second, Lee Smith.
All right, it's been properly moved and seconded that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes and say who you are. Need voting.
Tom Caiafa, GDOT.
Hi, Pamela Bernard.
Hi, Lee Smith.
Hi, Sean Gillen.
Hi, Diedrich Cody.
Hi, Faye DeMassimo.
Hi, Jim Aiello.
Hi, Nick Palumbo.
All right.
Hi, Tom Letcherson.
And that was I, Effingham County.
Okay. County County. The minutes, the agenda is approved. At this time, we will have committee reports coming from ACAT. Pamela Oglesby is now recognized.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. I'll be speaking on behalf of Pamela Oglesby. Because the ACAT committee meeting fell on a holiday, we'll be having it at a later date. So the upcoming Monday, we'll have an ACAT meeting.
Okay. DAC, Dr. Brantley.
Good morning, Chairman. I'll be speaking on behalf of Dr. Brantley. The CAC committee did meet last Thursday and endorsed all of the action items that were proposed.
Okay. TCC, Pamela Bernard.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman. The TCC committee met on Thursday, June 16th. The action items included amendments to the 21-24 TIP and amendments to the fiscal year 2023 UPWP. Both were endorsed by the committee for approval by the board. That's all. Thank you.
All right. The EDFAC, Ms. Bernard.
Yes, sir. The Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee also met on Thursday, June 16th. The main focus of that meeting was a status report on the freight transportation plan update. There was a good discussion regarding stakeholders' vision and strategy for the plan update. That's about all. Thank you.
Okay. Executive Director's report.
Commissioner report.
Okay, let's move to.
We're continuing to move forward with the urban flooding model. That's one of the things I wanted to make sure you all knew about.
All right, let's move on to the action items. Approval of the April 27, 2022 MPO board meeting minutes.
So moved, Lee Smith.
Is there a second?
Second, Sean Gillen.
Probably motion and second that the minutes be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote and identify yourself.
Yes, Tom Caiafa.
In the room.
Yes, Tim County, Effingham County.
Yes, Pamela Bernard.
Yes, Lee Smith.
Yes, Diedrich Cody.
Yes, Fady Massimo.
Yes, Sean Gillen.
Yes, James Iello.
Yes, Nick Palumbo.
Yes, Tom Hutcherson.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let us have the amendments to fiscal year 2023. Wakola.
Good morning, board members, and then the people from the public and the staff members. I'm so glad to see everybody here. So to finally try to match some of the faces with the names. The fiscal year 2023 UPWP Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program for the fiscal year that's starting on July the 1st and this year, and then ends on June the 30th of next year. The amendments we are trying to do is to include three planning studies, and also that potentially will pursue highway funding, and then some language for transit planning studies. So I'm just going to outline this. As you all know, that we're going to conduct a call for projects in August with the Y230 funds and the Y301 funds, transportation alternatives funds. So some of these studies will be eligible. According to the procedures outlined by the Federal Highway Administration and GDOT, so any study or that wants to pursue the funds have to go through the two meeting process. So three of these studies actually we started the discussion at the TCC in April. So, and then we finished the second round of study in June. So that's why we are amending the three studies into the UPWP. And these are the US 17 corridor study. Currently we are thinking from the Bryan County, Chatham County, County line, and all the way to I-516. So that will involve unincorporated Chatham County, Garden City, and City of Savannah. So there will be some coordination among the jurisdictions. And then the second study is President Street Railroad Crossing Feasibility Study. And you know that the trains got the cars delayed over there. So like 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. So we want to find out what we can do about it. And then for the State Route 21, the CSX Railroad Crossing Feasibility Study is the same situation. We'll probably, I think the feasibility will explore whether like grid separation will be needed or something. So as of now, Chatham County would be the major project sponsor for these three studies. But State Route 21, that might involve Garden City. So Garden City might partner with Chatham County as co-sponsors. And for the President Street, the City of Savannah might co-sponsor the study with Chatham County. So we already, I think at the TCC, we discussed it. I think we reached the consensus at the staff level, at least at the TCC level, that we're going to coordinate on those. So the US 80, US 17 corridor study, this cost is about $350,000. So when we issue the call for projects, so Chatham County on behalf of the multiple jurisdictions might be able to just apply for these funds for about $280,000. And then Chatham County with the other co-sponsors might share the local match, which is the $70,000. And for the President Street, the current cost estimate is about $300,000. So Chatham County will submit the application, and we will have submit an application for the $240,000. And then the co-sponsors will split the local match. And then the State Route 21 railroad crossing study, the current cost estimate is about $300,000 as well. So the call for projects, and you will be applying for $240,000, and the local sponsors come up with the match of $60,000. I just want to make sure, because these three studies are also eligible for the discretionary PL funds in August, so we might apply for both. So if we get the PL discretionary funds, that means, and then we can keep the Y230 funds for other projects in our area. But if we don't get the PL discretionary funds, we can still use the Y230 on these three studies. So in June, we were trying to meet the eligibility requirements. And there will be another study coming up in April when we asked, are there any other studies that they want to pursue? Nobody came forward, but in June, the City of Savannah came forward. They want to do the I-16X ramp removal feasibility study again. So they want to do the IMR. So we already started the first round of discussion in June. So in August, we probably have to do another UPWP amendment to amend that one in, so that that study will be eligible for these funding opportunities as well. So just want to give you some pre-warning. And besides these three studies, CAT also requested that we add some information about the transit planning to outline the transit planning studies. The UPWP is the MPO's staff budget, so really, I mean, it doesn't have to include the CAT project, but since we are coordinating with CAT, so we are partners, so we want to make sure. And we are updating our long-range transportation plan. CAT is doing the transit master plan and TDP. So we want to make sure that we coordinate the efforts. So, and also this is a requirement of FTA that we want to, they want the CAT to include this information to the UPWP. So this will be outlined in the transit planning task in the 2023 UPWP. And CAT will doing these studies with the section 5307 funds. So one of the studies would be the zero emission implementation plan and development, and the cost is about $93,000. Another one is the transit development plan. This one really will fit into our 2050 long-range transportation plan. The cost for this plan development is about $313,000. And then Chatham Area Transit will also do a master transit plan. Probably this will be a regional plan and have visions. For the whole region, probably not only Chatham County, I think probably will be like outreach to the neighboring counties as well, right? So the cost is about $500,000. And then another study that CAT wants to include is the American Rescue Plan Act funded study, is the APR route restoration, and the cost is about $550,000. So we are including this transit studies as information only, but they don't contribute to the UPWP financial balance or financial budget. So these are included over here for information purposes. So for the quorum PO board, we would just ask your approval of the proposed amendments to include the three highway studies. So that in the unfunded section, so when they get either the discretionary PL funds or the Y230 funds, they can be moved into the funded section. And then for the transit portion, we are just including these CAT studies just for reference purposes. Any questions?
And also let me say before we open it up for questioning now, we were instructed by our federal partners that it's better, and our chances of obtaining the funds if we do it all together, not only to do a comprehensive plan for Chatham County, but regionally in the MPO. All right. So we want to say to all of our partners, let us communicate together and let us plan together so that we'll know here in the MPO what you're doing and what you're planning to do, so that when we meet with our federal partners who will be here later on this year, we all will be on the same page and it won't be something new to you. All right. So we have to coordinate these things because what it does for all of us, not only just Chatham County, but all of us who are covered by MPO, it strengthens your ability to get the funds in place. Okay. And so we want to make sure that we're all on the same page and we all know what each other is doing, because all the monies that we're talking about is competitive monies. And we, it's good for us to be competitive with other states and other jurisdictions, but we don't need to be competing against each other. Okay. So that's why there's a call for all of us to get on the same page and make sure that the staff has all of the information that you have. All right. And the staff will make sure that all the information that they have, because they may get a call. Okay. And if they don't know what you have asked for and what you're planning for, they can't answer the questions that are coming to them. And you must know now. We can all work together to accomplish all of the tasks. And then that's why it's important, as I told them on yesterday in our briefing meeting, it's important that we know what Chatham Area Transit Master Plan is, not only for Chatham County, but we have to look regionally, because now all of us know there are some new jobs and some new industry coming online right in Bryan County, right at our line. And that's on both sides, okay? There's some new things coming up in Effingham County that we need to be a part of, because folks live on our side of the border, but they work on other sides of the border. And so that's why we need to be there. Okay. Having said that, are there any questions now for Ms. Wong? From anyone?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Wakota, I think you mentioned that this includes the call for projects in August for the Y-230 funds. Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, that is where Tybee's request for the local funding for the Bull River Bridge right-of-way acquisition will be. So that's part of the plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure they're tangent to each other, is make sure that I'm understanding that correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the US 80 bridges projects, because they're already in the current TIP, so they're already eligible, but these studies, they have to go through the two meeting process.
Correct.
So we were trying to make sure they meet all the eligibility requirements.
So our engineer has been working with on getting that in for the project, call for projects in, was it August? Is that the deadline?
Yeah, in August. The reason that we want to move it to August is because several of these studies have to meet the requirements.
Understood.
So we want to make sure. And also, in the meantime, there might be development about like revenue projections. So we need to make sure. And also, even the Tybee project, you need to coordinate with GDOT project managers to like figure it out. I mean, they might have like new schedules. Mm-hmm. So you want to be more realistic, get the new realistic schedule and the cost, revised cost estimates.
But Lazarus Creek is still on schedule for?
According to GDOT, no.
Okay.
So you might.
That's news to us.
Yeah. See. Yeah. That's why, I mean, if we delay the call for project to August, you have enough time to work with GDOT to figure out what is the new schedule and what is new cost estimate, because everything is subject to change.
All right. I've just spoke with project manager, and as far as I knew, this was like a week ago, Bull River Bridge or Lazarus Creek was still on schedule for the TIP.
That's what they told us for now.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything's a caveat.
At the TCC, they told us for now they're okay in 2023, but the schedule might be in 2024. So
understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's why when you submit the application.
We and Tybee appreciate your help with all of this. We just want to say that.
Okay.
On the record. Yeah. Appreciate it. She's been great, Mr. Chair. So
that's what I'm talking about by being on the same page.
Yeah.
See, because you're corresponding with GDOT, she's corresponding with GDOT, so we have to make sure that.
Right. I think we're hearing the same thing.
Yeah, hearing the same thing. Yeah. There you go.
We're good.
Mr. Chairman and board, if there are substantial changes, we will have a webinar for everyone so that you know what those changes are, just to make sure that you're in the loop if that happens before we have our next meeting.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else? All right, you want to go ahead on to the next?
Do you want to move, do you want to like vote on this? This is an action item.
Oh, okay, this is a, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is an action.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we move forward in adding these three plans along with all of the data research that our efficient staff person has stated and reported to us on today.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Chair.
Probably motion and second that we adopt the new information and it becomes a part of the FY22 UPWP. Is there any questions? Please signify your vote and state who you are.
Yes, Tim Callahan.
Yes, Tom Caffa.
Yes, Tom Hutchison.
Yes, Pamela Bernard.
Yes, Lee Smith.
Yes, Sean Gillen.
Yes, Diedrich Cody.
Yes, Faye DiMassimo.
Yes, Jim Aiello.
Yes, Nick Palumbo.
All right. Yes, Chairman.
Thank you. The next one, the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIF amendments. This is the housekeeping item because we are already reaching the end of the fiscal year 2022. So some of those projects, actually we have some projects and project phases that are programmed in fiscal 2022 did get funds authorized. So we're making progress, but there are several projects and project phases that cannot make fiscal 2022. So we need to move them out to later years based on their newest schedule or estimated schedule and cost estimate. So that includes both highway projects and transit projects. There are about five highway projects that we are going to move. And the first one is Project Durain. Currently, we have a right-of-way phase in fiscal year 2022. But as you recall, for the last meeting, we actually added an additional preliminary engineering phase to Project Durain in fiscal year 2022. And those funds actually have been authorized. As soon as we add the funds in, those funds have been authorized. And those funds will be used to conduct additional environmental justice analysis. I think Dr. Shabazz asked like how long that would take. And last time, according to the GDOT schedules, it takes about 18 months. So until that process is done, you really cannot start a right-of-way purchase. So the right-of-way in fiscal 2022 is not going to make it. So based on the 18-month schedule, we push the right-of-way to 2024. So City of Savannah has already sent a request letter to GDOT asking to move the money with the project to fiscal 2024. I got that letter, but I haven't received a concurrence letter from GDOT yet. But as soon as I receive the concurrence letter from GDOT, and this amendment will be finalized. The second project is the Savannah Traffic Control Center project. Currently, we have the preliminary engineering, utility, and construction phases all programmed in fiscal 2022. City of Savannah is actually making a lot of progress because they actually threw out a bid and they actually got the bid. I think the probably already bid has already coming back. They already have this TCC center set up. It's empty room, but they already have that. They just need to purchase the equipment and install that. But unfortunately, GDOT has some problem authorizing the funds in fiscal 2022 because there are procedures, administrative procedures, because they're used to the authorized PE funds first, right-of-way funds later, and construction funds eventually. But this project is an ITS project, so it's like equipment purchase and the installation. It's a little bit different from their existing administrative procedure. So GDOT still needs several months probably to find out what they can do to have the funds authorized. So we are still hoping to have the funds authorized so City of Savannah doesn't have to come up with this project with all local funds. So they will still be eligible for the 030 funds, but eventually, if there are problems, I mean, if the city has to use local funds for this project, we'll just go ahead and do it. And at that time, we can remove the federal funds. But right now, we are still hoping the federal funds will come our way. So we would just give GDOT several months to work things out to get the funds authorized. So that's why we moved the funds from fiscal 2022 to fiscal 2023. I'm still waiting for a funding request letter from the City of Savannah and also concurrence letter from GDOT to finalize this TIF amendment. And the third project is the US 80 bridges replacement at Bull River. And currently we have the right-of-way phase programmed in fiscal 2022 with HIP funds. But we know this project is not going to make 2022. So at the last meeting, we already take away, we already took it away that HIP funds and reallocated it to Project Durain. Because the HIP funds have a deadline, September 30th of this year. That's the deadline to obligate funds. So we don't want to have the funds lapse. So we can use it on other projects, we use it. And then this project can pursue other funding later. And also, in fiscal 2022, the cost estimate is about $93,000 for the right-of-way. According to the new GLAF schedule, the right-of-way will be about $1.4 million. So, and they are showing the local funding source. That means Tybee will have to come up with $1.4 million. And we know Tybee doesn't have $1.4 million to pay for that. So we ask Tybee, we actually have already coordinated with Peter to like submit an application on Y230 funds. But now you have a more realistic schedule, it's in 2024. So apply for the 2024 funds for this project. The other project, the Los Rato Creek, what I got is currently they're in 2023. They are now for now, they're good for now, but the possibility is they're going to move up to 2024. So please coordinate with the GLOT project manager to make sure if you need additional Y230 funds, submit two applications for both projects. So and then we will decide at the TCC and the MPO board whether to award those funds. I mean, if you need it, you probably will get it. If you don't need it, and we can take that funds away. But just don't waste this opportunity. So please submit your applications for those two. For the Boulderville project, because the right of way will be moved to 2024, the utility in construction are going to be moved to 2025. That because the TIP is from 2021 to 2024. That means they will be moved out of the current TIP. For now, but they will be included in the 2024 to 2027 TIP later. And another project we have is the US 17 bridges at the Savannah River. The right-of-way phase currently is in fiscal 2022, and we are only like more less than 10 days away from the end of the fiscal year. There's no way the funds can be authorized by June the 30th. So we are moving the right-of-way phase to 2023. And then the last highway project is the I-95 at Airways Avenue, Polar Interchange. Savannah Airport Commission requested that we added a scoping phase. We actually did a TIP amendment, I think, in December of last year. We added a scoping phase in fiscal year 2022 with local funds. It's about more than $2 million. But since we are going to do this, and I think in the meantime, I think GDOT and the Polar were also doing something over there. So we want to have like a more coordinated efforts. So during our next call for project, Chatham County on behalf of the Savannah Airport Commission probably will apply for the Y230 funds. So so instead of spending more than $2 million for local funds on that, we can use that funds as local match. And then probably if we need additional match and that funds can come up with additional match, so we have to use the federal dollars first. So we are going to move that to fiscal year 2023, and then if this project scoping phase get awarded the Y230 funds, and we will amend it into the TIP. So it will be replacement of the funding code. And besides the highway projects, there are several transit projects that have the same problem. Section 5307, Section 5308, and Section 5339. It's not like CAT is not making progress. CAT has already submitted applications through the FTA system, but those funds are not probably, because they are still being reviewed by the FTA. So the funds probably will not be obligated by June the 30th. So that's why we move it to 2023. They might get obligated in July. So you're just moving it. You say it's by one fiscal year. It might be only for 1 month or 2 months. So and then also CAT will add some additional funds in fiscal 2024 for the Section 5339 and 5337 programs. So I have the details over here if you're interested, and so you can see what's happening. The cost. So basically, those would be the TIP amendments, and we did advertise for a 15-day public comment period and a public hearing at this meeting. So we need to like have a public hearing done.
Okay. Let me ask now, is it appropriate to get comments from the board and then open up the public meeting, or we need to go on to the public meeting? Public meeting first? Okay. All right. We will now open the virtual public hearing for the June amendments to the FY2021-2024 Transportation Improvement Program. Please identify yourself before speaking. Make sure that you are unmuted. All right. The public hearing is open. Do we have any that have signed up? All right. No one has signed up once. No one has signed up twice. No one has signed up. Okay. So now, can we call for this virtual meeting to be closed?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion to close out the hearing.
Second, Pamela.
Probably motion and second that the public hearing be closed. All right, are you ready for the question? Please signify by your vote, name and vote it.
Yes, Tom Caffa.
Okay.
Tim Callahan, yes.
Tom Hutchison, yes.
Yes, Dr. Shabazz.
Aye, Pamela Bernard.
Yes, Lee Smith.
Yes, Sean Gillen.
Yes, Diedrich Cody.
Yes, Faye DiMassimo.
Yes, Jim Iello.
Yes, Nick Palumbo.
Okay. Yes, the chairman. All right, board discussion in action. The chairman and the MPO members are present. Please make sure that you're unmuted and state your name before making any comments or any motions. We're open for comments now from the board.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. Just, and again, Wycota, thank you for all your help. You've been on the Bull River and Lazard Creek Bridge projects. It's been great. The did GDOT give any specific reasons to you? And I'm going to be communicating with the project manager on this. On the delay in the right-of-way acquisition for the Bull River Bridge project?
Is Christy online?
Hey, Wycota, this is Katie. Christy's not on today.
Okay.
I didn't know if they had someone that could, you know.
Yeah, Katie, can you tell Type B, or can you tell the MPO board why these two projects got delayed?
This one, when they split from the parent project, I know they had issues, and then the environmental with the Terrapin was a big deal. I know that Robert was having trouble with the environmental, but I can have him give a step-by-step detailed report for these two projects, since this keeps coming up.
That would be useful, because I mean, I understand the complications behind the right-of-way acquisition, especially with the Bull River Bridge project, but I need to be able to articulate that to my council and to the public on Tybee as to, you know, we need something more than just, oh, it takes time. Oh, it got delayed. We just need a little something. But I can talk to Robert Johnson on this as well, the project manager, if that's appropriate.
Okay, yes, he can do that. And I can also just get something for you.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Leon, right?
No, this is Sean from
Sean. Tybee. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. And let me ask you now, when
I've been called worse, Leon, so
let me ask too that when Robert gets that information, that it also come to you.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we'll
you can get it to everybody. Mm-hmm. So everybody will know what those delays are, so that we can avoid them in the future if we can. All right. I understand environmental issues and I understand all that, but just to be able to tell folks that's what's going on.
Yeah. Please send the information to the MPO as well. So we can forward it to all the MPO board and to the members. Yeah.
Ask GDOT to do that. Ask GDOT to make sure that they send it to him, that they send it to Tybee. They also send it to you as well. So they CC you, and then you can CC the other board members so that we're all on the same page. Okay?
Yeah.
That's normally what they do. They send it to both me and Wycota, and then we would send it out to all of the board members.
Right.
So we'll definitely make sure we do that.
She was asking that Robert send it directly to Tybee, but I want to make sure everybody gets it. Okay? So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we will follow up on this one.
Good. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Quick question. Regarding the traffic control center, I understand that we're waiting for a message or authorization letter from GDOT. Is that where we're at in the process, or what is the next due out that is holding this up?
It's the GDOT internal procedure, because they have the established procedure for projects that are going through PE, right, where utility construction phases, but they seems like they don't have an established procedure for this kind of project. For the ITS project, you just need to purchase the equipment and install. So
it's
they don't
the equipment that's it's the equipment component, at least from what I've been told directly from the folks, is that it's the equipment, and you might want to get your folks to talk to them to see if they can come up with a process to deal with that procurement piece, because it's different than what they normally have dealt with.
So are we looking at a acquisition, you know, acquire the equipment and then reimbursement?
Yeah. So what we're trying to, I mean, it's not that, it's less than a quarter of a million. So City of Savannah can probably just do it. But since we programmed the federal dollars, so if you do that, you wouldn't get reimbursed with federal dollars if you use your local funds. So what we want to do is have like PFA project framework agreement established and signed for both parties. And then when city purchase the equipment and install it, and you can get reimbursed. So, but GDOT has to authorize the funds first. But in order to authorize that funds, they have to make sure that PFA is executed. But now they don't have an established procedure to what language to put in the PFA regarding this kind of project.
Well, I want to send out, because I know some of our Team Savannah members are tuning in, but they're not here in person, which is upsetting to me. I want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're taking advantage of the funds that we have, and that it's not resting on a piece of paper in an outbox somewhere, because these funds won't come back again. We have built out the infrastructure to be able to do this traffic control center. It's upsetting to me to see that some arbitrary requirement is not being fulfilled. We need to get a better explanation. I would also like to get out in front of it before we are embarrassed at a meeting such as this one.
Yeah, I think city is doing your job, because you already did the bid, you already got the bids in, you already have that big room set up. So you just need the equipment. But now it's the funding, it's the GDOT procedure that is holding up the whole thing. So we just try to get this resolved in the next 2 months, probably. So right now, what I need from the city is your request letter to the GDOT to request to move the funds with the project. And then I need to get the GDOT concurrence on that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the update. And I'll follow up with our end, and for our friends at GDOT that are tuning in, please let us know what we need, or if we need to contact Commissioner Purcell to get this moving, because we'd like to see it implemented as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you reach out to your staff if we get additional information about what we can do to expedite this?
Mr. Chairman?
Yep. You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Dr. Shabazz speaking. Thank you for your report, the total report. And again, like always, my focus is on Project Duran. Tell me again about the additional work that's being done or had to be done due to the change in moving the project right-of-way phase from 2022 to 2024. I just need to have that clearly stated.
Actually, I think Leon might give you, or Barry might give you more explanation on that.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's Barry Stanton with the City of Savannah Mobility Service Department. Initially, when we submitted the EIS, some of the response that we got back from FHWA, that they felt that the EJ, the Environmental Justice Community, didn't give enough, or they didn't get enough feedback from the EJ community. So we had to go back, reevaluate, and scope, I guess, our design consultants, excuse me, contract. So they're working on that now. The city, and it was part of my updates, the city of Savannah let's see here. Okay, the city of Savannah basically is setting up a meeting with the FHWA management is to discuss a path forward and getting schedule and funding together to handle that piece. So that was the reason for the delay of moving the money from one fiscal year to the next.
And making sure that the environmental justice piece is taken care of by the correct. Federal Highway Administration.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, anything else from anyone? Okay, I need a motion to approve the FY 2021-24 TIP amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Make a motion that we approve the FY
21-24 TIP amendment.
Amendment.
Is there a second?
Tom Hutchison, second.
Properly motion and second that the approval be given to the TIP amendment. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote and state who you are.
Yes, Tom Caffa.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Hutchison, yes.
Tim Callahan, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
All right. Chairman Ellis, yes. All right. Are we ready for other business? Is that coming from staff or that's coming from any municipality?
That's just any municipality.
Okay. Thing. All right. Then let's go on to status report. The Corps Imperial Freight transportation plan update.
As Pam has already updated you on what happened at ADFAC committee meeting, the consultant to Cambridge actually did a presentation. So I have already attached this presentation to this file to this meeting agenda. So basically, what the consultant is doing now is reviewing all the existing plans and then the data availability. Because there are several plans that are going on right now, like GDOT is doing the statewide freight plan, and they're doing the Coastal Empire study, and they also they just completed the state freight plan. So we want to see what kind of information that we can glean from those plans. And we completed our State Route 307 corridor study and State Route 21 access management study. So we want to evaluate whether those recommendations will be useful for this one. And also Effingham County finished their master transit plan, transportation plan, which has a heavy components on freight as well. So we're reviewing all those plans. And also we're developing the data matrix. We have a data matrix to see what kind of data we can have. So we're using like TransSearch, INRIX, origin destination, and the traffic volumes, and then do the disaggregation. Another thing is that we're doing like draft visions, goals, and objectives. Actually, the consultant actually presented the draft goals, vision, goals, objectives, and got a lot of good feedback from ADFAC committee. So we actually already, they have already revised the vision, goals, objectives, and we already sent that out yesterday to the ADFAC committee members to see have these incorporated your comments, and do you have additional ones just to let us know. And also CEDA, we have reached out to CEDA, that they actually have like Honda implant, the GIS file, also so additional information. We need to find out like who additional outreach that we need to have, because we're going to send out a survey in July on the logistics and the freight industry. So CETA actually provided a very good contact database for the logistics industry. And I think Effingham County IDA also have some information on that as well. So we're going to reach out. The people that we didn't get participation from is from Bryan County. So we're going to reach out to Bryan County IDA, I think NHFA, and also probably Richmond Hill. So I mean, everything's just moving along. So I think in October, you're going to have some like solid research findings, and we will present you with those findings at those meetings. So for this meeting, we just want to let you know that the study has been kicked off and is moving along.
Okay, any questions? You can go ahead with the FMT.
The next one, I think Melanie might be able to talk about this one.
I wish this had some motion sensor so when you move toward it, it would automatically come on. We issued an order to proceed so that we are getting started on the urban flooding model. That letter went out earlier. Actually, it went out yesterday since we just got it signed last week. So we're excited about starting that process with our team, and we'll give you updates as we progress.
Okay. All right, now, do we have from the city of Pula, do we have the State Road 26 from Chatham County line to State Road 21 status report?
Good morning, Leon Davenport.
Stop. I told y'all that could not happen.
Yes, sir.
All right. I sent you the letter from the attorney. That cannot happen. Mr. Davenport is a consultant. He's not an elected official, nor is he a staff member. He cannot do this in here. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm sorry. All right.
All right, I'll speak.
Okay, Tom, y'all get it together.
I'll speak on that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yesterday, City Council approved a couple items. One was the project framework with GDOT for the State Road 26 US 80 corridor study. And the second, we approved the proposal for the US 80 corridor study with Kimberly Horn.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, listen, I want to make myself perfectly clear. I'm not picking on Pula. I'm not picking on Mr. Davenport. I'm not picking on anybody. But everybody who is a part of MPO, all right, your consultant may work for different municipalities, all right? So he cannot be the designee. What has to come is either one of the elected officials or one of the staff members. Those are the rulings I got from the state, okay? So now I'm to hold to that, and I'm not trying to be the bad guy, but if I have to be, I will be. I just want us to make sure we do it right, because we don't need to get any pushback from folks who are watching these proceedings or folks who are following these proceedings. We don't need nothing to come from us, especially from press, that says we violated procedure. All right? And so I'm trying to hold to that until I get different. I sent, after the last meeting, I sent the lawyer's interpretation of what the state did, and we talked to the attorney general, and he said we were on point on, we did what we did, and I'm going to continue to do that until I get other directions, okay? All right, so we can get this done. All right, thank you. All right, now let us move on then to administrative modification. Sally's here.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. Whoops, what happened here? Okay. So this is just an administrative modification to the fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program. The fiscal year 2022 Unified UPWP adopted by this board here last April of 2021. It's the MPO staff work program for the fiscal year 2022, which runs from July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2022.
The planning activities and the work program are supported by the grants from the Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit with local match from the MPO members and agencies with a state match for FTA funds from the Georgia Department of Transportation. The MPO can submit adjustments to GDOT for various work tasks based on evaluations of ongoing staff efforts and expected staff work. The adjustments remove funds between tasks while the total funding remains the same. You'll see down here, as we have the charts on here, that we've made the adjustments, but our total funding did not change. So we didn't ask for more money. We didn't lose anything. We just shifted. In late May of this year, we requested and received concurrence from GDOT on several budget changes to the HWA PL funds. The budget adjustments were based on the valuation of staff efforts for year to date and expected staff work efforts to be conducted for the remainder of the fiscal year, which ends next week. The budget adjustment letter from GDOT and concurrence are attached to this agenda as well. GDOT requested that the fiscal year 2022 UPWP summary funding table and the funding tables for the work task be revised and reflect the final budget adjustments in order to facilitate the final contract closeout, which is everything that's on here. So we've taken, when we looked, and we have to get our reimbursements quarterly, when we looked at our last quarter, we noticed under the administration section that we were at 97%. And where we, in evaluating and looking at where that happened was the way that FHWA likes for us to charge our time, the majority of it goes under administration. Well, with our director last year retiring and billing at a higher rate, a lot of that went under administration. So that's how our percentage got so high. Also, over the last year and looking, through our public involvement due to so many virtual meetings back then, data collection analysis, system planning, operations, and things like that, those percentages were lower. So we elected to shift funds from tasks 2, 3, and 4, as you see here, into administration. So the bottom totals, the bottom line did not change. We just adjusted into the tasks that we were doing. And then here's the individual, the original over here, and then what our final revised are in each one of these. So, and this is just an administrative modification. We do not need an action item or request. And again, GDOT's concurrence letter is on here as well.
Okay. All right. Any questions from anyone? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
We're moving on now to call for projects.
I just want to let you know that the call for project package probably will come to you in August meeting. But we conducted pre-application workshop just to make sure that everybody understands the eligibility requirements. Just ask questions. So if you have a project, a potential project, we will try to help you to design a way on how to do the application. So it's basically just a train the potential applicants, what is required and what needs to be done and how to send the application. So I think the application workshop was well attended. I think we have more than 20 people attended that. So basically, we're trying to train. So not only Chatham County is fluent with the process, so everybody else is as well. That's our target.
And I can say to back her up, you have not because you asked not. Make sure you ask by putting that application in and getting it in on time so that we can have those projects and things, all right? If you think it's a project that you want to do, put it in there. It's better to have the application and not need it than to need the application and don't have it.
Yeah, that's why we actually walk through those two meeting requirement process for those studies. So that's why the city wants to do the I-16 exit ramp. So now they understand the process, so they have to make sure that they go through the two meeting processes. So it's like, I think everybody got some kind of education, so that was good.
Okay. All righty. Moving on to the 2050.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just say, question. I attended that meeting and the workshop was very helpful. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. Help us know how to get them funds. Because we need them. All right, we're ready to move on to is Asia. Are you going to do it to 2050?
I'm going to talk about this 2050 MTP update a little bit. There are several things going on for the 2050 MTP update. Behind the scenes, I mean, even if we haven't officially kicked off yet, Asia is doing, Asia, our new staff member, is doing a lot of work, because one part of the 2050 plan update is to update the travel demand model. The travel demand model network for our area covers three counties, it's Bryan, Chatham, and Effingham counties. The link has about 5,000. So we have 5,000 links. So each roadway has been divided up into different links. And Asia, poor Asia, has to check all those links to make sure the functional classification is accurate and the number of lanes is accurate. For example, the I-95, I-16, the ramps, even the ramps, sometimes it's one lane, sometimes two lane. And the I-95, you have two lanes, three lane, and four lanes. So she has to make sure all those are correct. So I think she told me she has already finished like 1,300 check, but there are 3,000 more to go. And we are also doing the network. We're trying to collect information on the network development, on the first network, second network. For example, the second network includes the projects that have started or have been completed between 2015 to 2020. And the second network will be in addition to that. So starting construction in 2021 or 2022. So we got some feedback from TCC. We already found some mistakes that the list that we compiled. So I'm going through that and then probably send that to the TCC again as a follow-up, because what happened is the MPO is dealing with the federal dollars. So we can probably document the federally completed project. But like county is doing like Quaco Road, so that might be missing from our list. But it's still and it's still on the major network. And the city of Savannah is doing like Gwinnett Street. So we want to make sure the local streets that you completed also included. So also working on that. Another thing we want to do is we want to conduct a survey. So the survey will help us to do to revise our goals, objectives, performance measures, and also help us prioritize projects when we have the funding, when we have the financial plan. So I can show you you are going to receive this survey questions. This is a working preliminary draft. So you will see some of these questions over here, and I have already got some. We already got some feedback from ADFAC committee, from the CEC, and from TCC, and also Pam actually sent some additional comments. So we have already incorporated those comments and also documented who provided the comments over here. So we're going to send this to you, the MPO board, in the next week to ACAT as well for comments and before we finalize this survey questions. Because ACAT, they are involved with accessibility. So we want to make sure that accessibility is addressed. So the MPO board, you can just have an overall look at this to see whether we cover everything that is needed. And after we get this survey finalized, in probably at the beginning of July, we're going to translate it into Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese, because those three population groups have reached the limited English proficiency thresholds in our area. So our outreach have to include those populations. And then we will probably conduct a survey in July, August, and September, something like that. And we will report back to you probably in October what kind of information we have collected. So we're also doing the survey. Another thing that we're doing is we're developing the socioeconomic data based on the GDOT guideline, because the socioeconomic data will feed into the travel demand model. So actually Kate Morano from the MPC is helping us doing that. So she might contact you for help if needed, because the information requires compilation of census data and also the school data. So she might contact you for school information, school enrollment information. So if she's contacting you, please make sure that provide her or the information or give her or point her to the in the right direction so that she can collect all that information. And that will fit into our model development. And another thing that we're doing, we are reviewing all the studies that have been completed. So we're going to compile a matrix. So we can see the recommendations from this study. So eventually, probably several studies will make recommendations to the same project, and that will be our priority. So we're working on that. Next step is probably conducting our congestion management process update. And we're also doing the non-motorized transportation plan update. Aisha will give you more details on that. Eventually, that will fit into the MTP development as well. And CAD is doing the TDP and transit master plan. So I have talked with Ashley. We're going to meet after the 4th of July so that we can coordinate with meetings. So if CAD is kicking off their public meeting, and probably MPO can just piggyback on that and say, okay, we are developing our plans. So also the TDP will eventually fit into the 2050 plan because this is a multimodal plan. So we want to piggyback on each other's meetings. So we will lay out all those detailed public meetings. So everything's going on. A lot of things are going on, but we will officially probably kick off in July.
Are you going to do the non-motorized as well?
Non-motorized is Asia. Yes, okay. Good. Yeah.
All right. Let me say, Asia, before you start, listen, I sympathize with y'all when you have to go through 5,000.
Yeah, when I close my eyes, all I see is roads now.
We thank you for what you do.
Thank you. So like Waikota said earlier, in addition to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, we are also doing an update of our non-motorized transportation plan and our thoroughfare plans. And those plans address topics that are important to pedestrians, bicyclists, people with accessibility needs, and also infrastructure improvements needed in the area. And so one of the major goals of the non-motorized transportation plan is to compile a list of pedestrian, bike, and trail projects that can be incorporated into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and then those can eventually be prioritized and programmed for implementation. So some of what we want to do with this non-motorized transportation plan was to create an overall vision for non-motorized transportation in the area, one that's less car dependent and more open to walking and cycling, and walking and cycling safely specifically. We also wanted to increase public input and also describe to the public how their participation is used and why it's important. And we also wanted to really address topics such as safety, equity, and resilience. And this is especially important as pedestrian deaths have been increasing, including in the Chatham area. And some areas are more disproportionately impacted than others. And we also wanted to identify safety problem areas and address those, and then update already existing projects within the non-motorized transportation plan, such as Tie to Town. At the earlier CAC and TCC meetings, we did ask for input on this plan. So I think the same goes for this board. If you have any input or expertise, I would really appreciate it. So this can be a really strong plan update. That's the last of my presentation. And my contact information is down here just in case after the meeting anyone wants to contact me about this plan.
All right. Any questions from anyone? Okay, thank you, man. Oh, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Oh, it's Pamela Bernard. Asia, I was just going to ask you, how many people do you have on the committee?
On the steering committee, the people that I had a meeting with, it was about five people. But since then, we've had, I think, three or four more people join. So maybe now it's up to seven. And I did email Deanna, so I'm just waiting for a response from her. But yeah, if anyone else has someone that we can add to the steering committee, that would be great.
Well, yeah, one of us will definitely be there. It's just depending on schedules. It'll either be me or her. But so someone from the county will participate with that. Is someone from the city of Savannah participating also?
Yes.
We got somebody. on the committee?
Yeah. Ms. Galumbo was going to speak to.
The non-motorized transportation? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just checking. All right. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Galumbo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Herndon. It's encouraging to see you step up into this role. I'm a big believer in the non-motorized transportation plan as a pathway to Chatham County's future, particularly as transportation costs and gas prices have reached an all-time high. I know that more people are going to be choosing this option than ever before. So just keep up the great work. The only thing that I could add is making sure, and I know you're far ahead of us, including our partners at Chatham Area Transit, to integrate them into whatever the future updates are so that we can connect our non-motorized transportation options to those stops to make sure that there's some synergy there. So that'll be really exciting.
Yeah, we actually did add some people from CAT to the steering committee. We really want to avoid redundancies because a lot of the different jurisdictions have similar plans, or not necessarily like full-on plans like this, but they have similar goals, and we don't want to make sure, or we want to make sure that we're not doing work that we could, where we could collaborate and make the process a lot easier.
And if I may add, I want to make sure that the other jurisdictions are participating in this process. So whether you're here in person or listening, please make sure that you have someone that participates. And that includes Effingham and Bryan County. We really do need to make sure that we're looking at all of them, especially since we know that those areas are subject to increase after the new numbers come out. Thank you.
Do you want me to send out a letter that asking for participation from everybody who's not participating? Or you want to send it out?
What I'll do is we will send out a reminder.
Okay, good.
We try to be as aggressive as we possibly can. We want to try to make sure everybody has an opportunity to provide feedback, but it's even more important with all the development activity that has taken place up in those areas of Bryan and Chatham and Effingham and Chatham. So it's really important to have those conversations with those county managers.
Okay.
As well as, you know, the folks in Richmond Hill.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I might add, it's the timing on this is actually very well. We're just in the beginning of the discussions of actually putting out proposals for a pedestrian and greenway master plan in Effingham County, and so we can coordinate the efforts on this. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you. All you do.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's go to the information reports from the City of Savannah on status project. Anyone?
Good morning again. I'll be giving the City of Savannah status reports.
State who you are. So they
My name is Barry Stanton. I'm civil engineer for the Mobility Services, City of Savannah. First project is the DeLessop's project. Glad to say that notice to proceed was issued to the contractor May 12th. They will start the clearing operations in 2 weeks. The second project will be the traffic control center. Bids closed June 21st, which was yesterday. I think they'll be open a week from yesterday, which would be the 28th. Next project is the Duran Avenue project, which a lot of that was covered in Wakota's presentation. In summary, the city's setting up a meeting with the FHWA to chart a path forward in trying to get a reprieve on the delays or the requirements for the EJ portion of the environmental document. The last project is the Truman Linear Trails project, phase 2B. Z301 funds were shifted to fiscal year 23. City was awarded CRESA fundings in the amount of $1.75 million. These funds will need to be shifted to fiscal year 23 as well. The city is working with the MPO and GDOT on this. The procurement, I'm sorry, the property acquisition process is ongoing, awaiting responses from property owners. And I think we're in the appraisal phase of the right-of-way process.
Any questions? Thank you, sir. All right, let's go on to Chatham County.
Thank you, Chairman. For the federal projects, we have three ongoing, the I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach Interchange, Chevis Road, and Girard Avenue. All of those are moving forward. Girard Avenue, we should start stakeholder meetings, and then we'll have a public information open house in the fall for that project. Let's see, the pre-construction, we've got Quaco Road is continuing, moving forward with clearing of the right-of-way. So we need to do that before we can start the road construction. And then Little Neck Road, that's in right-of-way acquisition. Skidaway Road is in redesign. Wall Tower Slope Stabilization is also in right-of-way acquisition, as is the traffic signal on Johnny Mercer at Lyman Hall, and the US 80 sidewalks project, all in right-of-way acquisition right now. The projects that we have under construction are the Robert McCorkle Trail upgrades on Wilmington Island. That's going well and on schedule. With the resurfacing, hopefully there's supply issues, but hopefully we'll be able to get that done on time. They should be starting in mid-July with that. And the Delaney Road shoulder paving project is has started. And that's all I have right now. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Chatham Area Transit status report update.
Ashley Goodrich, Chatham Area Transit. Currently, our ferries on purchase for construction are undesigned by our naval architect. Our paratransit vehicles are currently in still a supply chain shortage for the chassis. That order is ongoing. Our diesel bus replacement is currently in progress. We placed an order in December of 2021 for 3 35-foot heavy-duty diesel buses. The Clever ITS is in phase 6 of 9. Hardware installation on our fleet has been completed. We are currently working through our technology and website development. The ferry maintenance facility and ferry dock project is ongoing in coordination with the City of Savannah. The facility rehab, we are currently working through phase 1. Which includes some office space in the interior of CAT Central, as well as our CAT Wellness Center. And then finally, we have also placed an order for 1 electric bus that we have put that order in April of 2022, and we are looking for the development of that bus to arrive within the next fiscal year.
All right, any questions from anyone about CAT? Let me ask you this, and going back to your first one, the ferry purchase contract and the design. Mm-hmm. All right. So you're in the design phase. Explain to, because there's some folks who want to know exactly where we are, you know, because we had one time where those funds might have been in jeopardy of lapping, but we took care of that, didn't we? Am I correct?
Yes, sir. So the funds are in an executed status. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in the progress for the ferry boat, as we coordinate with our naval architect, designing a ferry vessel is a little bit more robust than a typical fleet vehicle. So you have, think about it almost such as constructing property or a house or a home, in that you have the design of the vessel, design of the equipment, and then later in the fall, we'll be progressing to a construction phase.
Chairman, I'd like to add something to that in answer to your question. I also wanted to mention that this ferry construction is for hybrid vehicles. I think that that would be something that would be important for this group to know as a part of our sustainability initiatives and effort. And the funding lapse that was also of a concern relates to the project that's called Ferry Boat Maintenance Facility and Ferry Dock. And the coordination that we have ongoing with the City of Savannah right now, we have I think virtually eliminated the potential for those funds to lapse. We're closing in on and should be complete by September 30th, which was the date.
Okay. And so now the design phase and the construction phase, that take up the whole, that's 18 months, or one is in 18 and then there's a more?
So for the ferry vessels, we foresee the design phase to progress through the next quarter, and then we will transition to the construction phase.
Okay. Gave us, when we talked about this at first, there was like an 18-month window?
Yes, sir.
Everything is going to be done in 18 months, or are we talking about design taking?
No, sir.
Everything is not done in 18 months?
So the design phase will not take 18 months to design the new hybrid ferry vessel. Ferry boats. On the facility dock and maintenance facility, yes, sir, that will be an additional 18 months. They're two separate projects.
Okay. I just want, it was explained to me, but I want the others to know because they weren't in that meeting that it was explained to me. So I want them to know what your timeline is. I don't want somebody to think, well, okay, we gave them that money in January of this year, and I'm counting 12 months this year and 6 months next year. I ought to see a boat.
No, sir. Absolutely.
It doesn't work that way. That's why I wanted you to make more of the explanation.
Yes, sir. Okay. No, we're quite excited for our ferry projects, and they are progressing quite nicely.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just a quick moment to talk about, we can't talk about the dock and the ferry, at least without talking about Mother Nature a little bit. Do we have an update for the public on all the conditions regarding the sinkhole that's happened out at Hutchinson Island?
We are in close coordination with both the county and the city, it's a daily evaluation right now of what the remedies are going to be. I know the county, both county and city leadership is really leading that, and we're serving as a strong partner in that. So I think the one thing that everyone should rest assured about is the level of intense coordination that's going on amongst all the partners. We're all making sure that we're participating in a very effective way.
And I'm not scheduled to get an update about anything until about 2 o'clock or 2:30. So my update is they're over there doing what they're doing, and they'll get back with me at 2 or 2:30. So that's the only update I have about that. Okay. Nothing else I know. All right. Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's move on to TIP projects tracking in June.
Again, this is just your updated TIP form from all our agencies of the projects that are ongoing. We ask them to keep record so that we make sure that funds do not lapse and projects stay on schedule. So this is just the current updated form that everybody did send their information in. Thank you, Pam.
And that's one of the things we must stress. Everybody got to send the information in.
Yes.
So that it can be put in here. It's in your packet.
Yes.
But make sure that you send your information in, because if you don't send the information in, they can't put it in there.
Correct.
All right. All righty. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
GDOT. Did we lose him?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, pre-construction status number 1 and 2 are Port Wentworth Bridge replacements over Savannah River and Middle River on State Route 25. The design on final plans are now in progress. Number 3, safety improvements on State Route 204 from 21 to Rio Road, ongoing design in progress, working toward PFPR. Number 4, safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway, recently on schedule to let September 22, has been shifted out to June of 23 to allow for the completion of adjoining bridge project. The Office of Innovative Program Delivery anticipates completion for the bridge project by 12/23. So you'll see this project in holding status until the bridge jacking is complete and the let date can be rescheduled. 5 and 6, the widening and bridge replacement on State Route 404, spur US 17 from northeast of Savannah Harbor Parkway to Back River, is working toward concept approval. 7, bridge replacement at Bull River continues toward PFPR, anticipating request in August. 8, Lazaretta Bridge continues toward right-of-way plan approval, working on environmental for FHWA approval, awaiting PCRF approval to update the schedule. 9, State Route 26 from 516 to Victory Drive, FFPR packet has been received and under review. The amount of parcels is 95. All but 13 have been acquired. 12 of those 13 are the city parcels. 10, roundabout on State Route 30 at Hodgefield Road concept task order is in progress. Moving on to the construction projects, the active projects. Line 1, Jimmy DeLoach Parkway extension has a typo, and this project is actually reporting 92% and expecting a ribbon cutting in early July. All the other projects are progressing. Line 9, widening and reconstruction of Brantman Road connector, it received its NTP on May 5th. And line 11, Effingham Parkway is reporting 9% complete and awaiting the piling to continue the drive-in. There any questions?
All right, any questions from UDOT? No, ma'am, thank you.
Thank you.
Effingham County, any update?
No, Effingham County doesn't have
any. Richmond Hill? Pooler?
Mr. Chairman, just want to assure you that your directive was not ignored. And so I'd like to apologize to you and also to Leon. I guess when I brought that back to Pooler, it did not go as far as I thought it would.
Okay. No problem. Garden City. Fort Wentworth. Tybee.
Mr. Chair, Tybee is in the middle of paving projects and the middle of tourist season, but we're doing more paving this year than we've done in the last 10 years combined. And we're hitting that again next year, so we're being very aggressive in those projects. Still getting tons of tourists on the island, regardless of the conditions of the bridges, and they seem to be hitting our record numbers as we did last year. So.
Okay.
We saw more visitors last year than we've ever seen, and we anticipate more this year.
Bloomingdale? Thunderbolt? Vernonburg? Georgia Ports? Savannah Airport Commission?
Mr. Chairman, a couple ongoing projects, a couple future projects. Currently ongoing, we have a rental car facility. Hopefully finished in the next couple months for safety security. Cargo apron expansion is close to being completed as well, along with our Southeast Quadrant drainage project. That's probably wrap up in the next couple months. We just currently bid out a TSA checkpoint expansion, and we're currently in design for a cargo building that will be bid out by the end of the year. That's a report for Savannah, Hilton Head Airport. Thank you.
All right. Hinesville. Area MPO?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Low Country MPO? All right. Let me say this to all of us now. We have directive from this governor. Our meetings are now supposed to be held back in person, and we need all persons on hand. You were given a call and you were given a written reminder. The governor has said that you can only use virtual under two circumstances, and those are emergency situations. All right. If you're on this board or you're supposed to be here, we need you here in person until he changes that. Okay. And then you can only be on two virtual meetings. You can only be on two virtual meetings per year. All right?
Okay.
All right. So now we need for everyone to be on hand. And if you can't make it, if no one from your organization can make it, please send in to MPO. And then if you send in your report, we can put your report as a part of the minutes of the meeting. But we must give an account. Okay. And so the directive is from the state is that these meetings be held in person now. Okay. And so that's my directive as your chairman. Okay. And so I'm asking you now to please be a part. And again, I want to emphasize what we're getting from our federal partners and our state partners. The more we come together and organize our planning for this region, and they use the region approach as well as the county totally report. If we work on it together, our chances of getting those funds from our federal partner, from our state partner becomes greater when we all work on the same page. Okay. So please get the information that MPO staff needs so that they can do the work. And I've said to the staff that if there's a reminder that needs to go out, we'll give you that reminder, but be also adhere to dates that must be, all right? Because we're coming up now for those projects that need to be in. And is, do we have a date in August? Is there a date in August or just August? By meeting time in August is what we
say. August the 24th is our next meeting.
All right, August 24th, but I'm asking now.
We do have cutoff date. Hold on, let me just open this.
Right.
So if you have anything, so make sure that you submit your agenda items to us by the cutoff date. So for the August meeting, the cutoff date is July the 27th.
July 27th. Yes. Okay. And then the call for projects is the 27th as well?
Call for project would be after the MPO board meeting. So okay. That would be after August the 24th.
All right. So August the 24th is our drop-in date, is what you're telling me?
The call for project probably will start, I think, the day after that. So probably August 25th, so we'll start the...
On August 25th.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that we're on time and in time. All right. Because we must understand. This is competitive as far as the feds are concerned, and we are competing with all the 49 states for this monies, all right? And so if we don't get things in on time, we go to the back of the line, all right? I'd rather we have senators and congressmen who are working to help us be at the front of the line. I just returned back from meetings with all the military folks, and they were planning on closing the Combat Readiness Center out at Travis Field. But the good news is, because we gathered in the Pentagon and gathered and talked about how important that was to our defense and to the national defense, the center is not going to be closed. It was put in the budget. All right. And so as I argued when we were in D.C., I don't see the need for us to close a multi-billion dollar center, valued center, for only $11 million. All right. And so somebody heard our argument, because I think some of the senators are coming this week to let you know that the $24 million has been put in the budget now, and we're on track to keep that in our community. And so the only reason I'm telling you that is because I want you to know how it works in DC and as well as the state, is when we're all working together to get things done. So please, the staff here needs your support by getting you in the information they need so that they can do the work that they need. And as we look at Asia is going through, she got 5,000 clicks she got to do, all right? Click on this and click on that and get this from there and get the, and she didn't put it, I gather she had her rather, she put it all under one and just click on and get all her information, but she can't do that. She's got to go through all 5,000. And where are you now? About 1,300? 13 out of 5,000. All right, so she got a whole lot of clicking to do.
And Mr. Chairman, I will note that we will have two new staff members come on board for the MPO within the next, I think, 3 weeks.
Good. Good, because we need the help. Are there any other public comments? Now, that was my comments, my 3 minutes. Any others? Do we have any?
I don't think we have other comments, but I just want to mention that Asia is also responsible for the coordinating for the SS4A grant opportunity. So I would ask her to just probably talk about it.
Okay.
And so we need to encourage all the municipalities and jurisdictions to cooperate, coordinate, and probably submit one grant application.
Okay.
Okay, so the U.S. Department of Transportation recently released a notice of funding for the SS4A grant, which is the Safe Streets and Roads for All. This is a competitive grant, and its goal is to support infrastructure, behavioral, and operational initiatives that prevent death and serious injuries on roads and streets. And so the goal is to improve safety for all road users, pedestrians, bicyclists, public transport users, motorists, commercial vehicle operators, everyone. So there are two forms of funding available under this grant, and it's dependent on if you already have a Vision Zero plan. And so a Vision Zero plan is essentially a plan for reducing roadway deaths to zero. So if your jurisdiction already has a Vision Zero plan, you would apply for the implementation grant. And the funding range for that is from $3 million to $50 million for joint and regional applications. So if your jurisdiction decides to go for this grant individually, that funding range will be a bit less. So that's the reason why I put the joint up there, because the U.S. Department of Transportation is really encouraging joint applications. If it makes sense for your community to go for it individually, go for it individually. But they're really encouraging collaborative and regional applications. And so the purpose of this grant is to implement what is already existing within your Vision Zero plan. So in your Vision Zero plan, you would have identified projects. Maybe you have a project for an education program to teach people or pedestrian safety and pedestrian laws, or maybe you have a project to build crosswalks in certain areas. That's what the money would be going toward. So the second grant you can apply for is if you do not already have a Vision Zero plan, but this fund will go toward the creation of a Vision Zero plan. So the funding range for joint applications for that one is $200,000 to $5 million, and that'll go toward the creation of a Vision Zero plan. So if you are interested in this grant, you must receive a unique entity identifier. Do that as soon as possible. It takes a month to get your UEI, so as soon as possible. And you also have to submit a statement of interest. So again, submitting joint applications was highly encouraged. It's not the rule, but is certainly, they mentioned it multiple times that regional applications were highly encouraged. And I did make a mistake at the bottom in saying the deadline was August 15th. It's actually September 15th is the deadline for this grant. August 15th is the deadline for technical questions. So if you want to submit a technical question to the Department of Transportation, do that by August 15th. And that's the end of my presentation.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought that out, because that just reiterates what they said to us when we were in DC, is that when we come into a joint venture together, or when we come in a regional joint venture together, our chances of getting more monies into this region is better. Okay. And so we want to make sure now, if there's any jurisdiction who does not have a Vision Zero action plan, all right, work with the staff. Let's get one. Because this is money, and it's competitive, and it's in every state, okay, and multiple jurisdictions. A lot of the others have come together, and you know That has been my push from day one. There's only one Chatham. Okay. And so we add Brian and we add Bullock and we add, and look what we did when we joint ventured and got the Hyundai plant here. So we can do this. All right. So if you don't have a plan, please get in touch with the staff here at MPO. All right.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I was just going to say that I'll be sending out a letter to the smaller jurisdictions to let them know that we would be glad to talk to them about how they can collaborate with some of the others, especially Savannah, since they're working on a Vision Zero plan, just so that they're not left out. One of the other things that the DOT folks have been stressing is what can we do to make sure that everybody is part of this process. And right. One of the things I hear is that, you know, they have limited staff. So I will be reaching out to them so that we can make sure that everybody is part of this process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Chairman, just one thing to add. Thank you for the opportunity. It's exciting to see the synergy between this and the non-motorized transportation plan that you're working on. And as Executive Director Wilson stated, you know, the city is underway with, we've taken the pledge, and cities have the ability, if you already have, this was formerly known as Vision Zero. It's now being rebranded as Safe Streets for All, which I think is a better name. But if you have a Vision Zero pledge, you can self-certify to apply in this first round. We're pursuing an aggressive timeline to be able to implement this at the city. So if there are any jurisdictions where we have overlap and you'd like to participate in this first year, please let me know and we'll get connected. And likewise, Secretary Buttigieg has rolled this out as a $5 billion program over the next 5 years. So even if you're not participating this year, there will be next year. So I encourage everybody to participate in this. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Our
next meeting will be, board meeting will be August the 24th at 10 a.m. The Safe Street and Roads for All, right? The grant opportunity, let's get it in. And administrative modifications to the FY 2023 UPWP. You need to say anything about that?
Yeah, don't worry about that. It's just like a 1 cent difference, okay. So yeah.
Right, but we need to emphasize the Safe Street and Roads for All, right? Listen, let's put some teeth in that grant. Let's put some feet in that grant. Let's put some sweat equity in that grant, okay? Let's get the grant monies because we can use it.
Mr. Chairman,
all jurisdiction. Yes, ma'am.
One thing I would mention on that, that's that grant opportunity, especially with the emphasis on partnerships, would be, I think, really advantageous, and it's probably something that's already being done in some measure, is collaboration with the school system, because what used to be the old Safe Routes to Schools program is still a part of the focus of this new incorporating from Vision Zero to the new program as they're rebranding it. So having them as a really active partner in this would only serve to enhance the value of it outside of just a jurisdictional kind of partnership. So,
and the transportation secretary came here to tell us about it personally. All right, the day we were all at the port, he told us about this personally, so that they were going to roll it out. So, it's time for us to call for all hands on deck. We at work. If nothing else to come before this committee, I move for adjournment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We adjourn.